How many here need a miracle? Let me tell you something. You cannot get a miracle if you don't need a miracle. But is there anybody in the house that needs a miracle? Needs God to work something out? Come on, raise your hands. I'm going to talk to you today. The title of my message is, I need a miracle. What do I do? You cannot have a miracle unless you need one. So what do we do to receive our miracle? Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to talk to you about a man who needed a miracle. We'll read verse 1 through 14. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. Listen to this. But he was a leper. So you may be here today, folks, and you may have great jobs, great titles, whatever, degrees, whatever you are, but you're still a sinner. Unless you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Amen, but we still need God. Verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy. Little children are awesome, aren't they? And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. You see, we try to buy our things sometimes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, and thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, and he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover the man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He didn't understand things here. And it was so, and Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? And let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Listen how Elisha is. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. He didn't even go out. Saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. You see, we don't want it certain ways sometimes. God says, do this, and we don't want it certain ways. And Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, I thought. There it is right there. I thought. He will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought. Are not Abana and Paphar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them? God, this is how I want you to heal me. And be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Another servant. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Because you're Naaman. You're a great man. If it was a great thing he asked you, wouldn't you have done it, Naaman? How much rather then? When he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a child, and he was clean. Lord, right now, thank you for what we felt in this house. I feel your precious presence in this house. God, I ask you just continue to move. God, I know that there's somebody here, Lord, that you're speaking to. There's many here today, God. You saw the hands that were raised that need a miracle in their life. God, help us right now to do what you ask us to do. Lord, help us to humble ourselves. And right now, in the name of Jesus, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You can be seated. The story today is about a man with a desperate need. Naaman was not a believer. And he doesn't even live in the Holy Land, all the land of Israel. In fact, when it comes to spiritual things, he's on the outside looking in. And I say that to say to you today, whatever your need is, whatever situation you find yourself in, God still wants to meet your need today. Come on. In fact, when it comes, folks, to spiritual things, Naaman is out here looking in. Maybe you're out here looking in. But God still wants to touch you. He still wants to bless you. He still wants to meet your need. Naaman is a desperate man. He's not a believer. He doesn't live in the Holy Land. In fact, he doesn't even know what they believe. But Naaman is seeking answers to an incurable problem. He has leprosy, which is a disease that affects the skin. A person with leprosy didn't have much of a future. It is a very painful disease, to say the least, that has serious physical and social consequences. A leper finds himself alienated. He is ostracized from the rest of society. All the while, his body aches from a process of deterioration that occurs from the inside out, causing the loss of limbs and legs. Naaman, folks, needs a miracle. He's got a problem. Amen. A big problem. He has an issue that can't be resolved. And that's the first thing you need to know about miracles, folks. All God's miracles have one thing in common, and you know what that is. They all start with a problem, and Naaman has an enormous big problem in his life. Now, many of you here have problems or a problem. Truth be told, you have problems. I have problems. We all have problems. And if you have a problem, you're a candidate to receive a miracle. All miracles you need, amen, read about in the Bible, have this one thing in common. They all start with a problem or a need. And that's the starting point for God's action. If you don't have any problems, then you don't need God. I said, if you don't have a problem, then you don't need God. And we know that we are all sinners saved by grace. So we have a problem. And God said, I have taken care of that problem on Mount Calvary. Come on, hallelujah. Naaman wakes up one morning and realizes that he doesn't get the help with his problem. If he doesn't get help soon, it's over. He's going to lose his career. He's going to lose his family. He's going to lose his fortune. He's going to lose his position. He will forever live in isolation and alienation. So he's got to do something about his problem. The first thing that Naaman did with his problem was this. He admitted it. I said the first thing he admitted, I've got a problem. Amen. Can you say that today, folks? Amen. Say, I've got a problem. If you're here today and need a miracle, you need to say it with me. I have got a problem. We got to admit it. Come on. Alcoholics Anonymous, first thing they say, I'm Joe and I'm an alcoholic. What are they doing? They're admitting they got a problem. Because if they don't admit they got a problem, they might as well, they're wasting their time going to this place. Amen. You're here today because you realize that without God, you have a problem. Amen. I need God in my life. Amen. I need him every day. Hallelujah. I need him every day. That's why what scripture says, if they that call upon the Lord shall be saved. That's not how you get saved. That's how you stay saved. Come on. Naaman was willing to look at things for what they were, not for what he wished they were. He was willing to bring his problem into the light. Folks, you have to admit you have a problem. Now, for many of us, this is a very difficult step to take. We don't like to admit some of our problems, do we? You don't have to amen me. You know I'm right. Come on, we don't like to admit we have problems. Nobody likes to admit they have problems. We would rather pretend our problems do not exist. We falsely think that if we don't talk about them, maybe they'll just go away. Amen? And when we are confronted with these problems, we have all kinds of advices and strategies come to us, like blaming others, getting defensive, or just plain denial. You see, but Naaman was far more realistic. He was beyond the denial stage, folks. So sometimes you just can't hide your problems anymore. Amen? He was beyond the denial stage. Amen? And folks, his problem was so bad, he couldn't escape it. It changed his appearance. It threatened his career. And I'm telling you, that's what problems today do in our lives, folks. They could change how we are. They could change our makeup. Amen? And how we look. Amen? Because they've worn on our lives. Amen? They could change everything, our relationships and all kinds of different things. So if you got a problem, you came to the right place today. Hallelujah. Why? Who could deny it, folks? Naaman. Everybody knew about Naaman's problem. Realizing his predicament, Naaman resolved to do something about it. And that is the second step in the process of preparing yourself to receive a miracle. You got a problem. I need a miracle. What do I do about it, God? Well, you got to start preparing yourself for your miracle. Be willing to do something about the miracle that you need. You see, Naaman was not only willing to admit his problem, but he was willing to do something radical things to get the problem fixed. So Naaman took some radical steps toward getting his problem solved and receiving his miracle from God. The first thing Naaman did was take advice from a woman. That's a miracle in itself. You know, it's a pretty big miracle in that day when a man listened to a woman. Somewhat today, but not as bad as it was back then. And this woman wasn't his wife. Naaman had a little Jewish girl as a servant, as a captive, that knew some things about God. She had some wisdom. So Naaman receives everything that she has to say. This is an enormous step for a man to take in the ancient world, because to great extent, the ancient world was patriarchal. Yeah, I can't really say it. But as you know, the Bible breaks the mold when it comes to being a man's world. And sometimes women emerge to play more prominent roles in the scripture. So the first thing Naaman does is take some good advice. He is willing to listen to what others are saying and entertain their advice. See, sometimes, folks, we get these problems. We don't even want to admit it for a while, but then when it gets so bad, you ever have somebody come to you and they talk, yeah, I got this problem, and I need help, and you talk to them, and you think they go away, and you think, man, everything ought to be all right, and they haven't listened to a word you said. You could talk till you're blue in the face, and they won't take any of your advice. But he's willing to listen to what somebody else is saying. He's willing to entertain their advice. And it turns out that Naaman likes the advice that was given to him, and he acts upon it. And from there, he starts moving up the chain of command to secure permission to leave the country and to visit the prophet Elisha. Naaman's request makes it all the way to the commander-in-chief, the king of Aram. And when the king receives his request, he jumps at the chance to have Naaman healed. He must have really liked Naaman, folks. Being the valued soldier he was, the king jumps up at the chance to write a letter to advocate for Naaman. You see, sometimes when we make our request known at church, folks, we have other people advocating for us. When they can seek the Lord on your behalf, amen? That's one of the greatest things you can do when you need a miracle, when you need God to do something in your life. Amen, let the saints of God, let the church know, hey, pray for me right now. Or are you too proud? You see, do you see what I'm getting at here, folks? Naaman was willing to do something about his problem. Naaman didn't give up. He was willing to take this his problem to the highest authority of the land. Let me tell you something, folks, about the devil doesn't want you to tell your brothers and sisters so you can pray for them. He wants you to be proud and keep it all to yourself and think you can handle it all. You don't need to listen to other people's advice. But Naaman didn't give up. So he pulled out all the stops. He didn't waste any time. There was no delay, folks. Naaman was willing to do something about his problem. Folks, you have got to be willing. Hear me today. You have got to be willing to do something about your problem. You know, some people are experts at diagnosing problems, but that's about as far as it goes. Come on. They are capable of identifying problems, defining problems, analyzing problems, and talking about the problems, but it doesn't go any further than that. You're really long on diagnosis, but you're very short on prescription. What good is a doctor, folks, if they only tell you what's wrong and not how to fix it? Folks, we need to take some clues from Naaman. He was willing to do something about his problem, that he campaigned all the way to the chain of command until he gained a meeting with the king, and he made his case to the king, and the king Aram made an appeal to the king of Israel. The king of Israel misunderstood it, but nevertheless, he conceded to allow Naaman to enter his country. And all these events request the extraordinary steps that Naaman was willing to take to resolve his leprosy, to resolve his problem, amen. Naaman was willing to do everything within his power and ability to pursue help, including sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice to get your miracle? Amen, folks. Naaman was willing to sacrifice further, establish the groundwork for his miracle. Naaman gathered up all of his belongings, his gold and silver and 10 sets of clothes and a whole entourage of people and set out on this journey with hopes of receiving his miracle to take care of this problem. He spared no expense. Naaman was willing to give everything in his possession to see an answer to the problem. Naaman was willing to pay any price, give any gift, make any sacrifice. Nothing would hold Naaman back. Naaman lays it all on the line, and so should we. Folks, if you want to see miracles happen in your life, be willing to sacrifice. Nothing happens except by way of sacrifice. You need a financial miracle, be willing to sacrifice and discipline yourself. You need a marriage, a miracle in your marriage, then you have to be willing to put some things aside in order to make your marriage a priority. It won't happen until you sacrifice something. You need a physical miracle. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Don't just stay home and pray. Advocate for yourself. In today's healthcare, you have to take up your own cause. You go see the doctors. You track down the specialist. Who cares how much it costs? Yes, there's a price that needs to be paid. Come on. There's a price that needs to be. It's a funny. We'll track all over every doctor in the community, folks, and spend all kinds of money, take every kind of pill they tell us, except for go to church and say, church, pray for me. Come on. You got to be willing to sacrifice. There's a price that needs to be paid. For folks, God is looking for some people who are willing to sacrifice so that miracle can happen and the world will know that he is the lone God in your life. And so often, he uses what's in your hand. If only we would be willing to sacrifice it. Folks, I'm not saying that some of you are going to walk away and say God helps those who help themselves. That's the point of the sermon. No, it's not. The point is this: God helps those who are willing to make a sacrifice, and that's His way of doing things, not our way. You see, folks, miracles usually involve some degree of sacrifice. Naaman was willing to sacrifice. Amen. The loaves and the fishes. Here's another example. The loaves and the fishes. This was the only miracle that Jesus performed that is recorded in all four Gospels. And that's how important it was. Amen. Jesus is teaching a multitude of hungry people. Amen. It's late in the afternoon, and they're all hungry. And along comes a little boy with five loaves and two fishes. And Jesus says, "Give me your lunch." And the little boy willingly gave up his lunch. He didn't do it begrudgingly or with hesitation. He gave his lunch to Jesus. Now, did Jesus need the five loaves and two fishes? No. He could have called down manna from heaven and spontaneously created a huge buffet line. But Jesus did not do it that way. He took what little bit this little boy had to offer, and he began to multiply it. You see, God typically uses what's already in our possessions. The problem is we just have to be willing to give it. The key word is sacrifice. Naaman was willing to sacrifice. Are you? Are you willing to sacrifice? Now, as many of you know, sacrifice comes in many ways. Come on. What may be a sacrifice to you may be something totally different for somebody else. Naaman here was put to the ultimate test. Little did he know at the time, receiving his miracle would require a different kind of sacrifice. Naaman comes to the home of Elijah, and a messenger meets him at the door. He says, "Go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." And all of a sudden, here's Naaman. Naaman comes along. He's got all this stuff to sacrifice. He's got all this gold and silver and clothes and all these kinds. He's ready to sacrifice. He went and he did his work, and he got permission to go see here. And all of a sudden, because Elijah doesn't come out and talk to him, and all of a sudden, because this man tells him, "Go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan," Naaman is angry because the prophet didn't even come out to see him. He expected to be cured instantly, and he is faced with a decision right here. Now, every one of us that wants to see God do a miracle in our lives, every one of us, we want God to do something, but we are faced with a decision. Are you going to do what God asks you to do, even if it does not make sense to you? A miracle follows. Hear me. If you don't get anything today, follow this. A miracle follows obedience. God requires us to do exactly what He says, not roughly or only part of it. Only the part that we agree with. See, Elijah said, "You need to go wash in the Jordan seven times, and then you will be cured, and all of your flesh will be restored." Seven times, Elijah said, "Do it seven times." The Bible says that Naaman got angry. Why did he get angry? Why does anybody get angry? I'll tell you why. Pride. Elijah asked him to do something that required humility. What was the number one thing that would keep Naaman from receiving the miracle he needed was pride. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Naaman was successful. Naaman didn't need others. Amen. Naaman was powerful. He didn't need other people. Now he was up against something bigger than him, and he had to admit that he needed help. Elijah told Naaman, a wealthy and prominent man, to go dip in the Jordan, not only once, seven times. You need to know something, folks, about the Jordan River, and it's not the cleanest body of water in the region. It is the drain basin for the hills of Judea, people that have no water to bathe in the Jordan River. It is a water that flows into a larger body of water called the Dead Sea. Now, what does that tell you? You see, Naaman was angry because he could see how dirty the river could be. He couldn't see how the dirty river could cleanse him from an incurable disease. And how do you get into a dirty river and come out clean? So he got mad and he walked off in this big huff. And the Bible says that Naaman was in a rage over the whole thing. And you see, not only was God dealing with Naaman's physical disease, he was also dealing with his spiritual disease. Naaman was a very proud man that needed to learn some lessons in humility. God was calling him to make a sacrifice far greater than just money, folks. In fact, God didn't use the money. God was calling Naaman to be a living sacrifice. And dipping in the Jordan was an act of humility. The remedy for pride is humility. And that's what God was calling him to do, to be a living sacrifice. And Naaman, after giving it some thought and being persuaded, did exactly what Elisha told him to do. And it took some time for Naaman to come around to it. But Naaman came to his senses and dipped his diseased body into the Jordan River, not once, but seven times he took the plunge. What humility, what sacrifice. It was a totally unconventional. But God used it to help Naaman in more ways than one. He got a lesson in humility. You see, folks, Naaman was open to change. For a man of his stature to humble himself and bathe in the Jordan, that is a pretty radical departure from what we know or what he knows. But Naaman was open to change. And I ask you today, are you open to change in your life? Are you willing to do what God tells you to do? Naaman was open to change. Are you? Folks, you have to. Because when God supernaturally intervenes, everything is going to change anyways. Amen? When miracles happen, nothing stays the same. Old things pass away, all things become new. Amen. Miracles have a way of changing our habits. Miracles have a way of changing our attitudes. Miracles have a way of changing our lifestyles. And one of the changes that took place immediately for Naaman was his attitude toward worship. Naaman's whole concept of worship was dramatically changed. Why? For the better, folks. And instead of worshiping many gods, Naaman, a total non-Jewish guy, is totally convinced that all other worship is in vain. Naaman proudly proclaimed that there is only one God and his name in his life, and that was the God of Israel. Amen. In verse 15, Naaman says, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." Later in the same conversion, Naaman offers advanced regret to Elisha because he knows that when he gets back to Syria under the king, Naaman is going to have to stand beside a man who worships other gods. And now he feels convicted about that and offers regrets in advance. And Naaman's whole attitude in worship changed dramatically after his miracle. Instead of worshiping many gods, he was resolved to only worshiping the one God of Israel. Amen, folks, that is the God that we worship today. Hallelujah. Miracles do that to us, amen. They change us. They change our attitudes. They change our lifestyle. When you get a miracle, look for the unexpected. Folks, God performs miracles in his way, not our way. Amen. Did you catch that? God does it his way, not our way. God has miracle working agenda, and it doesn't always work the way we think it's going to work. So you're going to have to stay on your toes if you want your miracle. The miracle may come in a way that you never thought. It may come when you don't expect it. There's an element of mystery to it. Miracles are miracles for a reason. You can't manufacture a miracle. God is not like a vending machine where you deposit certain inputs and make a choice and get a certain output. God is God. And understand this, we are not. Amen. And sometimes God chooses to work in a way that we never thought humanly possible. There's a sense of awe and wonder when miracles take place. And that is why we call them miracles and not good fortune or good luck. Amen. Life is not a crapshoot. God is God. And if he chooses to do so, he can supernaturally intervene in the natural order of things and do a miracle in your life. We serve a miracle-working God who works in the unexpected ways. Naaman never expected to walk away from dirty river and a changed man. Not only, folks, he was his leprosy healed and his skin restored, he was healed of a greater disease. His prideful spirit was dealt with. His prideful spirit was dealt with. Amen. God changed him from the inside out. And that wasn't really what he bargained for. But he brought with him a fortune. Naaman would have gladly paid out the bucks to get a mere healing. But folks, God was not interested in his money. You can't buy your miracle. I said, you cannot buy your miracle. Who knows? Maybe Naaman thought he could. God worked it out in a totally different way. And it didn't even cost him a dime. You see, folks, the greatest miracle is a changed life. You can read the miraculous accounts of God moving in the scripture, and you will find every case that as a result of someone's life being changed. In the Bible, there is a litany of miracles from the beginning to the end, and Jesus performed 39 of them that we know of that got recorded. Who knows where it could have been hundreds upon hundreds of more in every case, folks. In every case that we're talking about, the miracles. Amen. Where the miracle is, there is a miracle behind it. It changed their life. The real miracle is not working on water or feeding the hungry, not walking on water or feeding the hungry crowd or healing the terrible disease. The miracle behind the miracle is the life changed that results from it. That's what God wants. That's why God does them. He wants that life changed. God can juggle lightning bolts all day and give us a real showing if he wants to. But real miracles from God have different agenda. It brings about a dramatic life change and an attitude change. You will never be the same after God-given miracle. Hallelujah. That's God's agenda, folks. When God performs a miracle, unexpected change in your life may occur. Look for the unexpected in your life. Naaman was angry because he could not see how he could be cured by the dirty water of Jordan. Folks, it was not in anything but the power of God and being obedient to what God had told him through the prophet. Naaman was going by what he expected. But with God, look for the unexpected. God performs miracles his way, not our ways. God works miracles on his agenda, not our agenda. God works his way so that we don't have to take any credit for it. Naaman had to be open for change. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. God likes change. God shakes things up. We struggle with change. Folks, it takes humility to admit that you have a problem, and that puts us in a position to receive from the Lord. And when we admit we are imperfect, good news, folks, God provides miracles for imperfect people. God uses imperfect people to accomplish his task. God wants to heal your heart diseases. God wants to heal your unforgiveness in your heart. God wants to heal your anger problems. God wants to heal your strife in your life. God wants to heal your envy in your life. God wants to heal your rebellion. God wants to heal your jealousy. God wants to heal your pride. God wants to heal your anxiety. God wants to heal your depression. God wants to heal your loneliness. God wants to heal your addictions. Come on. Leprosy, folks, kills the body, but pride kills the soul. Amen? Isn't it funny that we have a serious problem, we stop talking to God about it? Somebody knows what I'm talking about. I said, somebody knows what I'm talking about. You see, when Naaman was obedient, it put him in a position to receive from God. It changed him forever. And folks, God requires us to be obedient. To do exactly, not partially, even if it does not make sense to us. That's what God requires. Stand with me today. God wants your obedience. Are you willing to do it God's way? God wants to hand out miracles today. If you want a miracle and you weren't willing to be obedient, you need to come up front here and say, God, whatever it takes, I'll do what you asked me to do. Come on. This altar's open. Get your miracle today, folks. Don't let pride hold you back in that pew. I said, don't let pride hold you back in that pew.